Peter.
Yes.
Thanks.
Hi, Eric.
Good, man. It's good meeting you. I think we met several times.
Yes, yes. And I still remember even the interview upstairs in Karen.
Yeah, at Karen.
Yeah, Karen Country Club.
Yeah.
During COVID, was it?
It was during COVID.
Yeah. Just at the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot has happened since then. I think at the time I was running a fintech startup, which I sold actually.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember now.
I'm now on to something else.
Yes.
Purely focused on the media side.
Okay.
And of course, I'll be working closely with your team on this.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but onto the results.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, they're fantastic numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What's your perspective, you know, as an insider?
So we are very happy.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kenya performance is very, very strong,
mm-hmm.
Which is, and especially given that we announced very, very strong results last year,
mm-hmm.
we are extremely happy. We top both delivering in Kenya,
mm-hmm.
a very big and mature business.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call it mature because we are growing,
mm-hmm.
Having a very strong top and bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the underlying drivers of that,
mm-hmm.
is across the board.
Mm-hmm.
M-Pesa has grown 16,
mm-hmm.
mobile data has grown 20.
Mm-hmm.
Voice, which was declining, as you know,
mm-hmm.
now it's a 5% growth.
Mm-hmm.
Fixed is growing at 14. But when you look at the underlying home,
mm-hmm.
home broadband has grown 23%. So that is on top line, and primarily driven by customer acquisition, more customers, more usage, and more use cases.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't about price. In fact, we continue to give customers even more value. And when you look at through the P&L,
mm-hmm.
we've also grown the bottom line in Kenya despite all the challenges,
mm-hmm.
at 14%,
mm-hmm.
which is great. And when you look at the group level,
mm-hmm.
it's also very, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
We are very happy,
mm-hmm.
with what we are doing in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen customers grow by 50%, 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Revenue double in Kenya shillings.
Mm-hmm.
Ethiopia revenue double in Kenya shillings,
mm-hmm.
To about 4 billion Kenya shillings.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in local currency, it's tripled.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the
devaluation,
the depreciation of the currency as the foreign exchange regime has been changed,
mm-hmm.
The translation into Kenya shillings means that it is lower growth,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually good that it actually happens when our business is still small,
mm-hmm.
Because that allows us in future,
mm-hmm.
to have a mature foreign exchange regime,
yeah.
that when it comes the time when we have to bring back dividends, mm-hmm. we have a fully functioning foreign exchange floating,
mm-hmm.
foreign exchange regime. But when you look at the underlying results in Ethiopia,
mm-hmm.
we set up a network that's that's half of what Kenya has today, 3,000 sites, 4G ready, and 4G enabled, and 5G ready. Data, we have the biggest data network in just 2.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and then we've grown customers quite significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and M-Pesa is at an early stage, but we believe with 1 million customers already using M-Pesa, in future we should see acceleration. So overall, despite the macro headwinds,
mm-hmm.
for the things that we are able to influence,
mm-hmm.
we are doing very, very well in Ethiopia.
Okay. Speaking of Ethiopia,
two
things that I'd like to get your perspective.
Yeah.
One is after the devaluation of the birr.
Yeah.
Previously, I think when we spoke, you had a 4-year break-even period.
Correct.
Has that changed? Secondly,
especially
on the M-Pesa side of things, when launched in Ethiopia,
yeah.
what particular use cases excite you that you think, you know, have a future there?
Okay. So you're right.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I need to say that the foreign exchange regime change,
mm-hmm.
is not a shock. As we went into Ethiopia, every investor asked us,
mm-hmm.
when are you going to see a foreign exchange regime that is open,
mm-hmm.
that is floating.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, it is good that the Ethiopia government has decided to do that.
Did you have a particular timeline that you thought it could
yes,
happen?
We actually, based on what we had been told,
mm-hmm.
we thought that it would happen within five years of mm-hmm. us going into the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened 2 years earlier,
mm-hmm.
which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying, mm-hmm. it's good that it has happened when our business is smaller,
mm-hmm.
because then it allows even more time for maturity,
mm-hmm.
of the foreign exchange regime,
mm-hmm.
and also it allows us to make changes to our business profile,
mm-hmm.
so that over time we get a very, very solid business despite the currency,
mm-hmm.
Change,
mm-hmm.
and I know everyone calls it devaluation,
mm-hmm.
but for me I would say it's a reform on, mm-hmm. the foreign exchange regime.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in Kenya there was a time it was controlled,
mm-hmm.
In Ethiopia, you could not buy foreign currency from a bank. Today, you can. Mm-hmm. Actually, at Safaricom Ethiopia, we can go and negotiate a rate. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the depreciation to 118 bill to the dollar, mm-hmm. the parallel rate was close to that. Mm-hmm. So it was already being signaled mm-hmm. that actually the rate of 56 to 58 was already overvalued.
Yeah.
So as the foreign and the foreign exchange regime change, it's not just about the rate itself, but it's also what you can do. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, now open mm-hmm. is a market-based mm-hmm. rather than mm-hmm. driven by the country. So of course, there's an initial hit, what we call day zero adjustment based mm-hmm. on the foreign currency mm-hmm. liabilities you have. Mm-hmm. But once you take it in, especially mm-hmm. during this half, mm-hmm. we would expect that the second half should be better. And also, second half will also benefit mm-hmm. from the measures that we are taking, price increase, we've already taken 25%. Mm-hmm. First of all, the Ethiotel took 25%, so we've also taken 25%. Mm-hmm. We are bringing a lot more local suppliers, like towers now mm-hmm. are being produced locally compared to being imported before. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that means even as we take these measures, it will take time for those measures to have benefit to the P&L. Mm-hmm. So that's where we've moved the break-even point mm-hmm. from an EBITDA perspective mm-hmm. to financial year 27. Mm-hmm. So it is 5 years instead of 4 years, which we had previously signaled. Mm-hmm. But the most important is the underlying mm-hmm. Health mm-hmm. of the business is great. Mm-hmm. Coming back to your M-Pesa question mm-hmm. In terms of use cases, mm-hmm. Yes, we've actually registered lots of M-Pesa customers, mm-hmm. but now it is about which use cases do you start with? Mm-hmm. Given now we have a good business from a GSM perspective, mm-hmm. we have 6 million active 90-day active customers. We have 1 million customers who are already using M-Pesa, mm-hmm. primarily on our services, buying airtime, buying data. Mm-hmm. So 1 million people are using it. We also are starting to.
That's the 30-day active users, right?
That's the 90-day active. 30-day active because they are regular users. Yeah. Yeah, because they are topping up mm-hmm. using M-Pesa. Mm-hmm. And actually, 20% of the top-ups are on M-Pesa, which mm-hmm. is very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which mm-hmm. means that in another 5 years, it could be 100%.
And that's how the Kenya use case actually started as well.
Exactly, yeah. And then the other thing we have realized is the traditional send money home mm-hmm. or send money to rural and back mm-hmm. it's not necessarily going to be the biggest use case in Ethiopia compared to Kenya mm-hmm. because the regions are fairly self-contained. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we need to start with payments. Yeah, Lipa na M-Pesa is likely to be more important. Mm-hmm. And because most of the services are actually provided by government-owned entities, mm-hmm. fuel, electricity and all that. So we are working with a number of government entities mm-hmm. to say, how do we enable mm-hmm. paying of electricity? So mm-hmm. the equivalent of Kenya Power mm-hmm. in Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. So the Ministry of Transport for Fuel and the Ministry, and of course the electricity mm-hmm. Company mm-hmm. for power. Mm-hmm. So monetizing enabling customers pay the regular payments that they make, mm-hmm. whether it's fuel, it's electricity, it's tax, mm-hmm. will be important. But starting with our own, because also starting with our own allows us to test whether it is working and so on. So it's early days. Even remember, M-Pesa didn't grow in one day in Kenya.
Yeah, yeah.
It took time.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. Speaking of, that particular growth, I think my next question is on Safaricom's share price.
Yeah.
I'm a keen follower of the share price.
Yes, yes.
And
you told me last time. Yes.
Yeah. And if you look at Safaricom's share price, overall, since the start of the year, since Kenya refinanced the Eurobond, that mm-hmm. took away the risk, and the market has actually been performing well.
Yeah,
if you see banks and a number of other sectors that have actually been. But on the other side, when you look at Safaricom, which has a very big weight on the total exchange.
Yeah,
a few years back, Safaricom was like 70-60% of weight.
Yeah, yeah.
At the moment, my expectation as an investor was that
when
The overall market performs well, mm. and Safaricom being the biggest company, that should ideally translate to the share price.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
We think we are down 59% since the start of the year.
Yeah.
In your view, do you think it's the market not pricing in the Ethiopia story?
Mm.
In your view, like as a board or management, what are your thoughts around this?
So yes, you're right. We do look at the share price as an indicator of the kind of value that our shareholders are attributing to the way we are delivering on our strategy. So clearly we can't run away from the share price, but we can't influence share price in a direct way. But we can influence the drivers, what the shareholders are looking at. So there are three factors, I would say, that have influenced, or three or four factors that have influenced our share price. The first factor is the issue around where money is being invested. Today, we've seen the frontier markets, the money that was previously in frontier markets, including Kenya, go back to the Western world, both to reduce the risk profile that they were seeing in frontier markets, currency devaluations, although Kenya has actually, currency has moderated. So that was the first piece that took away liquidity. And when you are trying to take away liquidity out of Kenya, what's the share that is most liquid? It is Safaricom. That's why Safaricom benefits when the market is going up and also loses when the market is going down, if it is a macro issue like frontier funds. Because rates in the US are higher. So as rates start to reprice and start to come down, and you've already started to see it, we will see the other way, which is the frontier markets start to attract funding. When that happens, we believe the Nairobi Stock Exchange will be one of the beneficiaries, because Kenya is the most stable country. Most of the other countries have had challenges, foreign currency challenges, devaluations and all that stuff. So Kenya is still in good shape. The other issue that happened is there was a time that investors were finding it difficult to withdraw their dividends and so on and so forth. That affected
but
a number
of foreign investors.
Foreign investors. So now that the government has actually clarified that there is no liquidity challenge, the Eurobond has been resolved and all that stuff, foreign currency is stable. So I think that should then go away. The second aspect is, of course, our investment in Ethiopia. Early stage. So until Ethiopia starts to be accretive in terms of growth, the investors were always going to be a bit more cautious. If we didn't have the foreign exchange issue in Ethiopia, we reported on an underlying basis, it would have been 21% growth at a group level, which is fantastic, which means that going forward, you will see Ethiopia accretive to both top and bottom line, contributing 10% of the growth in the group and being accretive at the bottom line. So Ethiopia is the other one. But in another couple of years, we should see Ethiopia being in a good place. The third was repricing of fintech stocks. So fintech stocks have scaled back from the days of the COVID and so on and so forth. Of course, M-Pesa being the biggest fintech in Africa, that has affected. But if you think about the underlying performance of our business, when we talk to investors, they tell you there's nothing wrong with your business. In fact, when you look at the consensus around analysts, they say anywhere between 25 and 27 shillings. So that is a 50% upside. Yeah. So we believe that will only be reflected when money flows back and when some of the other macro issues are more stable.
Just still on that as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you had an active retail investor base, that would have helped, because just drive up the demand for the share price? Do you believe that when the foreign investors left, there wasn't a very active base of local, say, retail investor that could drive that up?
Yeah. So the retail, or rather, let's put it this way, domestic investor base is very important for the Nairobi Stock Exchange to actually benefit, whether they are retail or institutional. Remember that we are talking about both foreign versus domestic. So we have seen, when foreign investors sell, who buys? Domestic. So you've seen it used to be about 50-50. In terms of split, now it's about two-thirds, one-third. So two-thirds being local, stroke regional. Yeah, there are some actually regional investors, including in Uganda and Tanzania, who hold quite a lot of stock on the for the Safaricom.
Yeah.
So clearly, the depth of domestic, improving the depth of domestic pension funds and all these things, supporting the Nairobi Stock Exchange is very important. But foreign investors are also important because they signal confidence in a market like Kenya. They are able to price in all the macro parameters. And so yes, actually we benefited from the fact that the buffer has come from domestic. But we are fairly liquid share.
Yeah.
So I would say yes, continuing to improve the liquidity of domestic players is good. Retail, on the other hand, retailers don't necessarily trade shares much.
Yeah.
Most of the movements are usually institutional, pension funds, and others that actually trade on the share.
Speaking just a little bit of that, I know Safaricom during the earnings indicated that the wealth management is actually one of the fastest growing.
Yeah.
Despite, no, not officially launched.
Yeah.
In my view, I know there is some sort of regulatory approval that has been either been given or at the tail end.
Yeah.
And one of the activities that I know that Safaricom has been engaging is, you know, building a product that could help the retail investor community, you know, be active. Could you just mention briefly on where you are?
Yeah. So on our M-Pesa, or if we broaden it to say our financial services or digital financial services business, of course, we've been very successful on the payment side, and we are continuing to improve the experience and also the products like Mratiba being a new one. Credit is an area that we have been expanding through the business side, where we have launched credit for businesses. Insurance and what we call savings or wealth is the area we want to really focus on. Insurance penetration in this country is low. So we started with our own devices. We have actually 110,000 policies that we have already secured in terms of insurance. So in the future, we'll announce a new product. On the wealth, it's about democratizing access to saving products. So I know people always think about land, illiquid. So we want people to feel, I have money, I can actually put it into a liquid security and I can withdraw it at any time. So I can put it as low as 100 shillings. So a dollar, invest a dollar. So that's what we are trying to encourage. And you're right, regulatory piece, we are at the very tail end. So in the H2, we should see a real acceleration in that area. But it's actually just saying to customers, learn to save money, just put some little money, and then you can withdraw it at any time. We will manage the back end with all the licensed fund managers and custodians and so on and so forth. Customers don't need to worry about that. Yeah. All they need to know is, here is the interest rates I'm earning, here that I can withdraw it at any time, and my money is safe.
Okay. So dear, you're not going to compete with fund money, but you want to collaborate with them?
No, we are actually using, in credit, in insurance, and even in wealth, we are using all the licensed players in our market. So we are an orchestrator, but we co-create products with licensed players, because it's not our job to actually invest money every day. That's not, as we are a connectivity and a tech provider, we don't want to be doing the investment side, which should be done by professional. Just like in credit is banks, insurance it will be, the underwriting will come from insurance companies.
I know that's the topic we can go on and on.
Yes, speaking,
but on to my last one,
will
be on the recent competition by Starlink.
Yes.
Do you regard that as competition? Or secondly, have you heard, because I know they have a program or an initiative that they've actually started actively rolling out to partner with the leading telcos across different countries with satellite mobile.
Yeah.
Have you had discussions with them, just even at the initial stages or now, you know, to partner with them?
So Starlink is what we call satellite.
Yeah.
So satellite technology, if you think about mobile, you have 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G.
Mm-hmm.
You also have fiber, which is the fixed infrastructure.
Yeah.
And then you have satellite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different ways of delivering broadband.
Mm-hmm.
So satellite is it complements what the radio network provides and also fixed provides. So we believe that it will complement what we provide as an industry. Forget even Safaricom. People focus on Safaricom, but there's the industry. Airtel and Telkom are also involved, and also ISPs, internet service provider. So what will happen in other countries, what they are asking the satellite companies to do is actually to make sure that the gaps that still exist in rural areas, in remote areas, in national parks and all these places are filled, rather than just purely compete in urban areas where the network is largely reliable. However, in Kenya, you'll have seen that we have actually upgraded our offerings.
Yeah.
And we are now offering speeds, including now one that we will have 1 Gbps.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, fixed, which is the broadband at home based on a fiber infrastructure, is still the most reliable. Mm-hmm. Then you have 5G and also satellite. Mm-hmm. So we believe it will complement. Mm-hmm. Starlink is in 100 countries. It's not just Kenya. Yeah. So it will complement. 3 years ago, we had a partnership with AST. Mm-hmm. In fact, as part of the Vodafone, Vodacom, mm-hmm. we were one of the first markets they wanted to test in. So we had a partnership and we were looking at how can we use satellite in this country? So it's not something that we have not been thinking. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll partner with a satellite provider, whether that is Starlink, AST or any other. Mm-hmm. We will. But it needs to complement what we are doing. So we don't necessarily see it as competition. Mm-hmm. I think as long as we serve customers mm-hmm. And we deliver what they want, that's good for the country. Mm-hmm. And competition is also good.
Okay, good. Yes, thanks, Peter, for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah,
thank
you. I know we should look for a proper time for
yes,
a longer conversation.
Yes, we should. We should, Eric. Okay.